This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Want a smart, lasting, clean? Check out Zero Res. Mike, I know you got some numbers, but the NFL, record number of close games the last 3 years. 2022, 92 games decided by 6 points or fewer. Last year, 5 games in 1 day decided by a game-winning field goal. We saw what happened last week, too. All the 1 o'clock games seemingly went down to the last possession.
What do you think's the cause of that? Because I have thoughts.
Parody. What Paul Tagliabue? It's Paul Tagliabue's wet dream, basically.
I have thoughts. Here's what I think is one of the reasons it's pointing in that direction. You tell me if I'm right or wrong about parody and about games coming down to the wire. Because obviously we've seen it firsthand. I think the fact that when a team is up and another team is trying to come back, right? Let's just say Falcons are up by 10. Panthers are driving at the end of the game, trying to make it a one-score game. Right? What are you doing? You're in obvious passing downs. What type of things usually happen in obvious passing downs? Number one, roughing the passer.
Yep.
You're even if you land on the guy wrong right now, you're getting a flag and an automatic first down. Number two, pass interference, but also unnecessary roughness, personal fouls, right? When you got guys, you know that they're going to be throwing the crossing route and the safety comes up and levels. I mean, look at Derwin James and everything else going on there. I think a lot of that lends itself to the ability of the teams that are down by one score or multiple scores at the end of the game, making it a little bit closer. And I think that's one of the attributes, in my opinion, to why things are close. But I do think there is a lot of parity in the league, and Rob, I've mentioned this a number of times, and I think Bo will agree with me. This is the fairest league in the world. Yep. Like the salary, the hard salary cap, the draft, everything else, there's no luxury tax. There's nothing like that. It's the fairest league in the world.
Yeah, as far as that goes, I don't necessarily agree with the other stuff, because if you're within one score already, you know, you're getting, and that's how you're getting back in games. I don't think necessarily penalties are keeping games close. I just think that's where we are talent wise. I mean, you look at all these teams, and like I said earlier, the one thing that separates all these teams to me is coaching. That's why when I brought that up with Joel Klatt's comments, the coaching doesn't matter. It's just quarterback play.
Quarterback play is a big part of it.
It
too,
is a though. Huge part, but it's the most important position in sports. There's no doubt that it's a huge part. But look at good quarterbacks that lose with bad coaching, and you're controlling these players and everything.
You can have bad personnel too. I mean, there's many different.
I don't think that there are teams that are just so god awful in the NFL. Now, the ones that you know are the ones that go 1-15. They're usually in cap hell. But even go back to 2022 with the Atlanta Falcons. It was the worst dead cap situation in the history of the game. Now, part of that's because of where we're at, you know, money wise with the cap. But they still went 7-10. And they were in almost every game. Why? Because whether we like to admit it or not, Arthur Smith knows how to maximize his talent. Arthur Smith's biggest issue was he believed in himself too much.
I agree with you. I love, and honestly, I think a lot of people, at least that I've talked to around the Falcons, just have grown even more respect for pre-snap motions and formationally what Arthur Smith was trying to do. He just didn't have the right pieces in the right places to be able to get it done a lot of the times. And you look back at some of the games. I mean, just look back at some of the quarterbacks you lost to last year. If you just simply beat Josh Dobbs and Bryce Young, we're probably not. I mean, isn't that think about what I just said. If you just beat Josh Dobbs and Bryce Young last year, you're probably not talking about a different regime here.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable to think of it that way.
And it's all because he believed in what he could do with Desmond Ridder too much. He believed in his – you can call it arrogance. You can call it ego.
Confidence.
You know, I think – well, the way he delivered it didn't come off just like it's not an arrogance, it's a confidence. It came off more like it's an arrogance. He talked to people and treated it. But the reality of the situation was, if he would have just said, you know what, go get me a guy and we'll be in the play, they would have been in the playoffs last year. I believe that. I do believe when they say we were a quarterback away from making the playoffs, there's no way they weren't, because to your point, they lost games they shouldn't have that were close to Bryce Young and Josh Dobbs. And Kyler Murray.
Will Levis.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. 10 seconds. If you beat Josh Dobbs and Bryce Young last year, and Arthur Smith's still here, is Desmond Ridder still the quarterback?
I would say no.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I would. It would be hard to. It would be hard for that because I think
I don't know who is, but I think they make.
I think Arthur would have the struggles would have been so much still that you'd have been like, we've got to upgrade this position, and we will. And the sky's the limit.
Yeah. I think Arthur. I like what you said, Arthur. Too much. I think he would have come to a realization. Even my innovative, brilliant mind cannot turn Desmond Ridder into a bona fide NFL star.
I honestly think they would have made a run at Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, well, I think they did anyways, to be honest with you.
I think they would. I think he would have been a perfect fit for what he wanted to do.
I would tell you that Arthur, to me, my take on everything last year was that Arthur realized what he had in Desmond and what he didn't have very early in the season, and I think he probably dropped. Yeah, you probably saw a little bit of that with some of his stuff media wise last year.
All right, do you guys want some stats?
Well, they're for losers. I just want to hear numbers.
Let me underline for you guys the reason why the Falcons have to score from outside the 20. All right, the outside the 20. Mm. Mention this to Bo. I think the biggest part of last week's game is you never got in short yardage situations or goal line situations. Atlanta Falcons scored on explosives, right? There's honestly the risk, in my opinion, had you been tackled inside the five, if you're Kadarius Hodge, the Falcons might have to kick a field goal. Like, you could make that argument, as frustrating as that is. Here's a couple of numbers for you. By this metric, guys, the Falcons are the most explosive offense in the league. 24.7, so about one out of every four of their offensive plays have gone for 10 or more yards. Let me say that one more time. One out of every four plays the Falcons have run have gone for 10 or more yards. That's number one in the league, and I don't even think it's close. One out of every four have gone for 10 or more yards. Here's the issue. Atlanta has converted 43% of their red zone possessions for touchdowns. Only 43% of their red zone possessions for touchdowns. That's 29th in the league. It's almost like you're better off saying, hey, just fall down at the 21. Just fall down at the 21. We don't need to get in the red zone. They've been unbelievable as far as that goes. And honestly, we talk about, and good Lord, me and Bo have talked about this, so we're blue in the face. Defenses between the 20s almost feel like they're waiting to get to the red zone until everything shrinks. You can't, yep. Run the receivers on all these go routes.
Yeah, the de facto 12th defender with the back of the goal line.
But the fact that Atlanta is 29th in the league in the red zone tells me that they're just not good at reds. It's not a matter of defense clamping down. All the defenses are clamping down in the red zone. Atlanta is just one of the worst offenses that actually taking advantage of it.
And I think, though, that some of that has been the comfortability with the quarterback and the receivers and the chemistry and the anticipation. And hopefully that's going away. After last week where he said he just felt so much better with anticipating where they're going to be, coming out of their routes, all that stuff.
Didn't Kirk say something about he's normally used to throwing to those smaller, speedier receivers? It's kind of been an adjustment to him to deal with a bigger guy like Drake London or Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, well, I think so.
As far as tendencies and anticipation and windows.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of truth to that, but also I feel like with Justin Jefferson, he got such a trust with him where he would put the – he put Justin Jefferson up in 50-50 situations, and I've seen a lot of that in the way he throws at Drake London.
I thought it was really interesting, too. We talked to Arch, and he kind of brought this up that, the wiggle. He said he'd get to a point where he knew where one guy would make a shoulder wiggle, and he knew he was about to break his route off. You know what I mean? It was just a matter of repetition and playing with guys over a number of years that you get to know what they look like running those routes and those small, tiny little things that Kirk Cousins is still kind of getting to know guys.
Yeah, to your point. I think we talked about it last week. Rob, we watched the video, the preview on Thursday before the game, me and Mike, and it opened with a play of Arch in 1986. It was a screen play, and he rolled out, and he threw the ball deep, and he hits the receiver. I can't remember the name of the receiver because Arch knew, and Arch goes, yeah, he goes, that's a screen play. He goes, I remember that it was the first play of the game. He goes, but he knew that if it wasn't there, I was going to come to him. So he ran his route all the way in, and Arch hit him in stride, and they ended up winning that game.
Let me throw out a couple more numbers. I know we got like a minute left. How about this one? Carolina opponents have scored on 50.9% of their drives. That is 31st in the league. 50.9. You want the bad news?
Yeah, I never read it.
52% of the possessions against Atlanta the opponent has scored, which is the lowest rate in the league for defensively for Atlanta. So if there's anybody worse against possessions for the other team than Carolina, it's Atlanta. Now, score is field goal, and we've talked about it a number of times. I think Pittsburgh kind of weighs heavily on that as well. The Falcons are also, guys, unfortunately, we talked about the struggles offensively on third down. Falcons have the worst, defensively, the worst conversion percentage in the league, 48.5% on defense, 48.5% of the third downs they're giving up.
But I'll make you feel a little bit better.
Please do.
They're the 13th best red zone defense in the league.
Let's go.
And nine out of 16 times, which according to this is 50%, but that doesn't really think it adds up. But
remember how I said that Atlanta only converts 42.9% of their red zone? The good news is that Carolina is the worst team in the league at keeping teams out of the end zone. 87.5% of their possessions, the opponent have scored a touchdown. So something is going to correct itself this weekend at 4 o'clock.
425. All right, 425. Pedantic squid, that's what that is. Hey, we're going to go in the huddle next. What happened last night on Thursday Night Football? Good night for Brock Purdy. Not so much for Seattle and Falcons. They'll be entertaining. Seattle next week. I get by Carolina first. Morning Shift Sports Radio, 1990 game. Oh, it's Friday on the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. Sports Radio, 1990 game. Falcons, Panthers, Sunday, 425. Right here on the game. Before we get to in the huddle, Kevin Seitzer let go as a Braves hitting coach. And we all know when a team is slumping, it's entirely the hitting coach's fault. And when they're just bombs away, it's because the players are really good. That's what it boils down to, I guess. But
yeah,
okay, fine, bringing somebody new, okay.
My question would be, is Seitzer's main job hitting mechanics, or is the
mechanics,
situational
approach,
awareness also
all of
involved?
All of it.
Or,
dissecting
or
film,
is,
too.
Or is Brian Snitker more in charge of situational awareness when it comes to approach at the plate? That's what my main question would be. And I was shocked when they said the whole staff was coming back. I honestly, think Snit's a legend. I think highly of all these guys, even the ones that have been let go. But there was, and we've talked about it, there was an obvious lull in situational awareness at times for this team as far as their approach.
They couldn't get a bunch of rejects to have triple crown quality numbers, I guess, is what it boils down
to. Well, this thing, and I know me and Bo have gone back and forth, it's not numbers for me. It's just simply hitting the ball the right side of the infield or hitting a fly ball at the right time. Well,
I think it's more than just approach when guys are on, too. I think it's just approach overall. I think maybe their approach overall this year was bad. I don't remember a lot of situations where they were just nobody on and they're just, you know, they're working counts. There were too many, like, the 23 season, I felt like they worked counts well. They just getting pitchers to go deep. But this year, I feel like it was three swings and you go back down and sit down.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think that might have had some.
That's Sean Murphy's approach, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to break it to people, but Sean Murphy's not going anywhere.
No, he's not.
There are a lot of people calling for, they're not getting rid of him.
Well, while we're talking about Braves moves, though, what's the next move? Is my question. Like, are you going into spring training with Kelnick in left and Arcia at short, and just saying that's our squad?
Well, I think it'll be Kelnick and Soler in left, and Capozuna's option. Arcia is where the shortstop position needs to be upgraded. Defensively. You can get similar play, maybe a little bit less of a defensive player, if you can get the bat. But you got to have a little more consistency at the plate from Orlando Arcia. And I think it was great. It was great in 23 when everybody was having a career year. Yeah, he looked good because
hitting's
to pitch to him.
Hitting's contagious, and slumping is contagious.
Well, he slumped more than most. So in some ways, he led the parade. So I think I'd like to have him on the roster still, but I think you got to upgrade the starting position. And Nacho ain't it yet, so don't come at me with that.
He's Nacho starting shortstop, yeah.
Nacho time yet, kid.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's about it with the Braves. Max Fried probably not coming back, but you never know.
He's not coming back.
You never know, but I doubt it. I highly doubt it.
The Braves have told you what happens when guys make it to free agency.
Yep.
They don't bring them back.
There is a pattern there, certainly with a.
But we already gave you our best, man. Best of luck to you. That's all we can do.
All right, let's go in that. All right, 49ers over the Seahawks last night. There was a call that wasn't made, a missed call on a muff punt. The punt actually hit the player's fingers. They went to the replay truck. They didn't have the footage available that proved
that. I saw that, man.
Yes.
I saw that.
And then I started thinking back to why was there a delay of game penalty against the Falcons when they're setting up for the field goal and the official's standing over the ball?
Yeah.
I still don't understand that one either. The officiating just will always baffle me.
And I've the age-old question is it always been this bad, and we've just now realizing it with HD and all the angles that we have, or has it gotten progressively worse through the years?
And because officials can rely on the replay as a crutch. But then again, if a call's overturned, that doesn't reflect well.
Well, we rely on the replay to criticize them.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's a good point.
I don't think they're standing over the ball is not, has, you know, that has nothing to do with the replay. And just missing calls flat out has nothing to do with the replay. To me, that's a fundamental problem with the judgment of the referees on the field. I honestly do think we see and hear and know too much these days.
I think that, especially in the case with referees standing over the ball, there is just not a system in place, nor really should there be, probably. There's not a system in place for the referee to just simply be like, yeah, that's our bad. Like, the referee standing over the ball, it's I think the delay of game was the correct call in terms of the clock, but then you can't fault Atlanta when there's a referee standing over the ball for not being on the ball and snapping it. So I just don't think there's a system in place of being like, hey, you know what? Clock ran out, but there was a guy actually standing over the ball, so we're going to run that back. Like, if you're Tampa, you're like, what? No! There's not this, you know, kind of backyard philosophy going on in terms of correcting things, and nor should there be. But I just think that's the reason for a lot of the upset fans in the NFL. It's like, we can't go back and fix these things because we don't have just this system of being like, you know what, when one referee's standing in the wrong place, let's give him a redo. No, that doesn't work either. So as frustrated as I was, I kind of get the fact that they're not willing to change it.
It's also the one thing I think we need to not get too over the top with trying to fix every little thing. You know, human error is a part of all sports, and even down to the officiating. Now, you shouldn't have egregious calls. You shouldn't have a strike zone that it spans during a game.
I think about the home plate umpire.
But you know, but that said, the human error part is a part of the game. I do like the fact that different umpires have different strike zones. Where, you know, what they'll call on the, you know, the black of the plate or whatever. But the reality is it just can't be extremely egregious. If it's pass interference in the last 2 minutes, then it should have been pass interference the whole game. Or if it's pass interference the entire game, it should be pass interference in the last 2 minutes. Like, don't change what you're doing. I'm okay with the human error, but it should be consistent, if that makes any sense. You know, what is illegal touching, and when should it be called? Because it gets called randomly and it doesn't get called other times. That is consistency with human error.
All right, you look at the standings in the NFL. Of course, you got the Vikings 5-0, Chiefs 5-0, Commanders 4-1. Then you have this large, thriving middle class of teams that are 3-2 or 2-3. That's what the league is this year.
I'm glad you brought up, and I think the Ravens are one of the best teams in the league. I still believe in Buffalo, even though they've kind of let me down a couple of times. The matchup between the Ravens and the Commanders this week is interesting. There very few times you had a reigning MVP facing off against the odds-on favorite for MVP and Rookie of the Year.
Well, Jaden Daniels says he doesn't like the comparisons to Lamar, though.
Yeah.
Can I just be Jaden Daniels and not the next so-and-so?
Yeah, I don't mind him saying that.
I don't mind him saying that either.
And the amount of Heisman trophies, we said this last week, the amount of Heisman trophies on that field, you know, with Derrick Henry also in
the fold. Right. That's right.
There's and it was the same conversation a week ago when they were playing Joe Burrow. It's like these quarterbacks and facing off against Heisman trophies and MVPs and everything else going on, that's going to be an interesting one.
Well, you know, both these teams are giving up like 25 points a game. This might be a wild one. On Sunday, but
yeah,
you never know,
over
though.
The over is 51.5, yeah. And that's I like it. I like that over.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Who's your most? Who do you think's the most fraudulent? Maybe 3-2 team. I don't know what to make of the Cowboys at 3-2.
Yeah, I think they're still solid. They have consistency at quarterback.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people roll their eyes, but I'm a big Dak Prescott guy.
I am too. But he's a quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, so that scrutiny is going to be a little bit different than
any other. That's going to come along with it.
You could look at Denver. because they're a good defense and they've got offensive woes, but I think they're well coached. I tell you what,
yeah, they're Pittsburgh only scoring 19 points a game.
Yeah, well, they got a rookie quarterback. Yeah. Apparently, he's still Ferris Bueller, according to his jerk head coach. Pittsburgh, to me, Mike, you're right. Here's why. You still don't know what the quarterback position is, and your defense can hold the rope for a long time. And they've only allowed 73 points against, which I think is tied for best in the league. But the reality of the situation is they've lost two straight because they couldn't score enough. And that is when they're going to start playing quarterback roulette to me, is when they are losing games they should win because they can't score 20 points and 22 points or whatever.
I'll say this. I don't think they're fraudulent, but I think the injuries are going to start catching up with them in the near future, and that's Tampa Bay. And you saw that start to come to the forefront last week. I know that Atlanta needed overtime to beat them, but one of the reasons Atlanta's able to climb back is because of those injuries that you continue to get on the defensive side of the ball when you talk about that team. And if they continue to deal with that and you're not seeing their captains all over the field and everybody else, they're going to start struggling if they can't get some of those guys healthy. So I don't think they're fraudulent in the way they got there. I just think that's a team that's really got to be careful about falling off in the future.
What day is it, Mike?
It's Fairfield Friday,
Let's
Ron!
Go! Let's go!
I'm ready, baby. How about this one? 4 p.m. starts are better than Sunday night football, fair or foul? Another one. In the remaining 12 games, Kyle Pitts will not be held for less than 3 catches in any single game, fair or foul. We'll do that on the other side. That's coming up. It's the morning shift. It's mic'd up. Fair Foul Friday, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. And you already know what time it is, baby. It's a fair or foul Falcons Freaky Friday going on here with Rob Tribble sitting over in the saddle over there.
I want to come in every Friday just for this segment. Just pop in or
you're more
do
than
a phone.
Welcome to. And you're more than welcome to, my friend. Bo's over here sitting side saddle, like he's Rob's mistress riding off into the sunset.
My side piece.
Yeah, he's he's the sidecar on the motorcycle right now.
Talking about, I'm sitting in the right spot.
It is what it is. That's
he's the pivot man in the. Never mind.
Listen, man, the sun continues to rise over the city of Atlanta on a Falcons Friday, man. So.
Jeez almighty. Just start the damn thing already before Rob puts us in a...
All right, you heard him actually coming in.
Worst spot.
You hear it every day on the mic'd up intro. How about this one? Let's think about this earlier. Red Hot Chili Peppers are actually a better band than Nirvana. Red Hot Chili Peppers, better band than Nirvana. Fair foul, Rob, we'll start with you.
That's a foul ball straight back in the upper deck. Nope, nope.
I'm a little bit
and Nirvana might be slightly overrated too. By the way,
I've seen the Peppers 3 times live, and obviously, I have a soft spot in my heart for them.
I saw a lot of blues. I love them, but they're not all that compared to. They weren't as innovative, not quite.
And also, Flea did the national anthem at the national championship game I played in, which is the most random thing.
That was a bizarre acid trip of a.
He's wearing a kilt, like it was strange.
Big Laker fan.
Josh Groban was doing the vocals of all people. I have no idea where that came from. Pretty sure he was an American Idol guy. Anyways, Bo, what do you think?
Well, even though I loved Anthony Kiedis in Point Break, I would say it's foul.
Yeah.
They're just not – they've got a couple of good hits, and the rest of the music is just hard to listen to for me. Yeah. So,
Yeah, man. I'm
John Frusciante, though, really, right. Really, really good guitarist. But other than that, just not a big Chili Peppers guy.
All right. Who would you say –
Will Ferrell on the drums.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that Chad Smith?
Yeah, it is Chad Smith.
I thought that's who you were talking about.
That's the oddest thing, that they look so much alike.
So much alike, man.
They have the drum off.
They were sitting next to each other on Fallon or whatever it was, and I still couldn't tell them apart. I mean, it was crazy. All right, how about this one? We'll go to the Falcons game this week and mention it. Obviously, two of the worst pass-rushing teams in the NFL, but with the Panthers being dinged up along the offensive line, 3 sacks. 3 sacks for the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. Against Andy Dalton. 3 sacks this weekend. Bo, we'll start with you. Fair or foul?
Yeah, I'll go with fair because I think some of the numbers show that if you you heat up Andy Dalton, he's pretty terrible this year. And with the offensive line woes, I think also this team maybe is feeling themselves a little bit, especially defensively. Maybe they come in, they have that little bit of confidence, and they're able to get him down on the ground.
Mm. The number is going to be 4.5. They'll have 4.5 sacks. I always thought the half sack.
I don't know if that's even possible as far as the record books go, but Rob Ryan 4.5.
Four.
And he's always a fan of obscure numbers, that Rob Tribble over there. All right, I tease this one going in. How about this? 4, and I'm going to do this for Bo, 425, starts, 425 starts, are actually better than playing on Sunday Night Football. I actually think 425 starts are better than being on that 820 kick on Sunday Night Football.
What do you mean, as a player or as a fan
just
watching?
In general, I just think that they are better games. I like the fact that that you start in the daylight and the sun's kind of going down the entire way. I know that not every NFL fan's watching you, but you're coming off of those 1 o'clock games. Most fans are still glued into the TV, and there's only a couple of games. I love the 425 time slot. It's better than Sunday Night Football for me. Fair or foul, Rob?
I'm going to say foul just by a little bit. Because I grew up on Dickenberg and Merlin Olsen always doing that 4 o'clock game.
What
you
was
know, or Pat Summerall. Dickenberg, Merlin
said
Olsen.
He said his first name was such gusto.
Richard Enberg. But something about, I think Sunday Night Football actually has a little bit more luster now than the Monday Night Football games. There's something kind of a big time about that.
Well, they've been better games.
Yeah.
They get better matchups.
Well, they can flex Monday night games. That's not starting to what, week 12, though.
Yeah, I don't like that. But, no, I think it's fair. For me personally, I like them better.
For sure.
And I think it's, you know, there's something like, now it sucks for me because I miss a lot of the starts with the 1 o'clock when we're at home.
Yeah.
But I do get home and get to watch some of those the second half is 425s. They normally feel like big games. I don't get to watch all the Sunday night games either. So, yeah, I like that 425. They have 405 kicks as well, but those are normally – the 425 is normally the national afternoon broadcast.
How about this one? Let's go to a little college football. If Texas beats Oklahoma Saturday, they're a lock for the SEC championship game. If Texas beats Oklahoma on Saturday, they are now a lock for the SEC championship game. They obviously still have, what, maybe 6 SEC games left? And one of those games will be against Georgia. But if they beat Oklahoma this weekend, Bo, we'll start with you. They are a lock for the SEC title game.
I think that is – while I think they are going to play in that game, I think the premise of the question is foul because they will have to play Georgia at home next week, and then they have to play Vanderbilt on the road, which we know Vanderbilt is not a push – that's not an easy walkthrough. Florida, man, that's not a big game. At Arkansas, which can be physical. Kentucky can be physical. And then they have to play Texas A&M.
That's a good one.
And
Texas A&M's way better than people realize.
And Texas A&M's very good, and they're very physical,
yep.
Especially up front. They can get after you with their rushers. So I don't think it's a cakewalk for Texas. Their schedule is a lot harder than people realize.
All right, what do you think, Rob?
I'm going to say foul. I see maybe 2 losses in there.
Ooh, okay.
What if Kentucky sticks up and bites them?
What if
Texas A&M?
Let the chaos reign.
Yeah, there it goes.
Let the chaos reign.
Texas has 2 losses on that schedule.
I don't know that anybody in college football is consistent, and I think that's where that kind of conversation comes from. All right, let me get through these pretty quick. We got 2 minutes, and I got like 5 of them. Fall weddings, fair or foul?
Foul.
Fall weddings.
Foul.
Like, I'm thinking
you.
About the slate on Saturday
thinking?
College football. I'm like, don't do it. Nobody
even,
don't do it.
Even the fact that you asked us that is foul.
Fair enough. All right, Aaron Rodgers retires after this season. A lot of money still on the table for Aaron Rodgers. But I don't know that he wants to undergo a coaching change.
Fair. He's got a lot of interest. He'll have other opportunities.
Okay.
Foul. His ego won't let him.
Kirk Cousins, career high 58 pass attempts this past week. That will never happen again in Kirk Cousins' career. 58 pass attempts will never happen again. But we'll start with you, fair or foul.
I think it's foul. I think it could. You never know. They might be behind big in a game. They might have to throw it a lot. I think it's foul. You don't never know.
All right. What do you think,
Rob? I agree with that. I think he's got a 60 in there somewhere.
All right. How about this one? Brown water around a fire is hands down the best fall activity. The best fall activity, period. Bourbon in front of a fire.
Bonfire.
The best fall activity.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. There's nothing even close. I don't want to talk about golf. I don't want to talk about sitting on a patio. I'm talking about brown water in front of a fire. Best fall activity.
Menage a trois, no. Don't even compare.
Around the fire.
I don't know. Change that question. No, go ahead, Bo.
I can disappoint 2 women at once.
I think it's phenomenal, but I would say foul because I think a good cold beer, you know, maybe a craft lager from New Realm Brewery, you know, the Al Inn would be a hell of a thing in there.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think?
Man, that brown water with a bonfire is chef's
kiss. All right, let's try one more. Caleb Williams will catch and overtake Jaden Daniels for the Rookie of the Year. Caleb Williams will actually catch and overtake, as he becomes more comfortable, Jaden Daniels for the Rookie of the Year. 3-2
All caps foul.
Okay.
Foul,
you think Jaden Daniels is locked? Or you just don't like Caleb Williams, one or the other.
Oh, I don't dislike Caleb Williams. Yeah. I wish him well.
Just don't think he'll do it.
I think it's foul because the Panthers aren't on the schedule every week for Caleb Williams to shine.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. All right, that's fair foul Friday. Nice. I appreciate you guys playing. Thank you very much.
What about the quick Kyle Pitts one, though? Just quickly.
Yeah, the Kyle Pitts one. Kyle Pitts will not be held for less than 3 catches. I kind of had a vibe for where I thought both of y'all were going to go, so I was like, the look that both of y'all gave me going into break. because, you know, it comes off zero.
He's
going to
be much better. There's going to be those off weeks.
What do y'all think? Fair or foul? He will not be held for 3 or less catches this season.
Foul, again. But he's going to have 7 catch days, too.
Yeah, I agree.
What did Randy McMichael say about
it? It'll average out.
Run straight ahead, brother.
Yeah, just
run straight ahead.
Catch it on a run. You don't need to change direction. Just go.
That fine former NFL tight end, Randy McMichael, a damn good dog. Randy, by the way, 11-2 today. Steakhouse, 9-11 as well. We're going to come back. Oh, boy. Let's see. I'm 2 games under 500 with picks. Look at you, though. 13-10.
Don't you jinx me. Wow. I don't want to talk about it.
That's crazy. Look at you. The oracle that you are. We're going to do some picks coming up, top of the hour, picks that you don't really care about. It's next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game.